it's coming down.
Whoa! Look at it!
I just need to get this stuff. Grab my phone.
And that's just a little part of what you will see when you go to stormwarriors.tv. Now, I'm periscoping. I'm Facebook Live here in the studio with Bill Ford, Corey Ford, and Danielle Ford, all a part of the Storm Warriors. Now, I think you guys have so accurately described what you guys do. Warn, assist, restore.
That's it. That's what we do. That's our mission. So we were created, Storm Warriors came out of the acronym WAR, Warn, Assist, Restore. And so that's our mission, to help communities in the path of destructive, violent, deadly storms understand that there's something coming that could change their life. So that's the warning piece. The assisting piece is to stop and render aid. In the event that there is a disaster, we want to stop. We're all trained in search and rescue. We carry a lot of equipment with us to stop and render aid. And then the third part is to help communities and families restore, to get hope back into their lives, because when a disaster strikes, when their home is gone, they've lost everything material, possibly a loved one, possibly a pet. For a while, they're hopeless. They're trying to figure out what the next steps are. So we want to come alongside them and help them through a process of restoration.
And I would say, and this is a family affair. I mean, Corey, your dad and your mom, I don't think you had a choice to get into this type of work. But what I'm hearing is you enjoy it just as much as they do.
Yeah, absolutely. Like I said earlier, growing up with your dad being a storm chaser, you kind of get pulled in by default. But now I'm hooked, and it's a passion of mine. I love it. I'm even thinking about mastering in meteorology. I love the weather now, and I love doing it with my family. And as much adrenaline is involved, and as fun as it is, the best part about it is the people we get to impact and the people we get to meet along the way. That's really what I love about it.
Okay, let's talk about what you guys do. I know that earlier you do monitor where storms might pop up in the south, or do you go as far, you go up north as well? I mean, let's talk about the geographical area you guys cover.
Yeah, so typically we're in about seven states we call Tornado Alley and Dixie Alley, and that's really where most of the storms, the violent storms, occur, but they do occur other places, and so we might go there, but typically it's the seven states. And so what we do is we do our own forecasting. Obviously, we look at National Weather Service, Storm Prediction Center, and even our local meteorologists. We love to follow a lot of what they're seeing and their forecasting as well, but we do our own models. And so, you know, we want to be close to where the storm is going to develop, so we call being at the right place at the wrong time. So we can get typically within 50 miles of where a tornado may occur. We call that our target town. So we get to that place, wherever state or whatever town or county that is, and we wait for the storms to develop, and then we call it game on. It's game on time, and then we get in our trucks and we go deploy and do our thing.
Now, Danielle, I said earlier, if I was sitting in one of these coffee houses and all of a sudden I see you guys roll up, I see your vehicles wrapped outside, you've got shirts on that say Storm Warriors, I'm thinking to myself, do they know something that I don't know?
That happens a lot of times when we pull into a small town. They're like, why are you in our town? And our first reaction is, don't you know? There is a severe weather headed this way. And my job is not only to help warn the communities physically when we're there, but we also do live streaming. And so I manage the live stream. So if you go to our website and you see the live stream is on, that means you better look out and you better know where you're, what's heading your way.
There you go. And Maddie Lou, you brought up a good example earlier, how you were caught in kind of a scenario in Tuscaloosa. Is that right?
Tuscaloosa, yeah, in Alabama, and ran down the stairs, and it was devastated the town, decimated it. But you have to be prepared and you have to listen.
And it was, I guess, being a college student at the time, you guys were just kind of like, oh, it's
kind of like whatever.
Whatever. Yep.
Another day, another
exams canceled. Yay.
Yay.
Yeah. But I mean, but that kind of misinformation that they were kind of, I mean, she's lucky. I mean, she's very blessed that something tragic did not happen to your particular dorm or wherever you were staying, apartment.
We were the last building left standing on the street.
Yeah. And that mindset is what a lot of people carry around, is that, you know, it's not going to happen to me and it's not going to happen here. And so one of the things that we say in our education that we do in schools and to volunteer fire departments and in communities along the way is that it's inconvenient not to die from a tornado. What I mean by that is what I've taught my family is that, you know, we may have to go to our safe place seven times and nothing happens. But, you know, that eighth time that we get to that safe place and something happens, that inconvenience saved our life. It's the same thing for every community, and especially if you live in a manufactured home, you know, that will get blown away by an EF0 or an EF1 storm can level a manufactured home. And so we say that your safe place is not in your home. You got to go find another place, another structure that's better than yours. And you may have to do that several times and nothing happens. But the one time that you go there and you go back and your home's destroyed, you're going to be glad that you did it.
Well, let's talk about a safe space. If you're in the car driving, okay, and I was misinformed. I thought for some reason, find an underpass and crawl up in underneath there. And I was sadly mistaken earlier.
Yeah, the underpass, the overpass is something so many people think, I'll just drive under the overpass, you know? But that's one of the worst places you can be. And like what Mike Prendergast said earlier, that when you're under that overpass and tornado comes through, you know, those 100, 120 or even higher wind speeds are funneled under the under the overpass. And so it can suck you out because those winds are concentrated under that overpass. And so when you're driving, when you're in your car, we say never drive into severe weather because there could be large damaging hail or a rain-wrapped tornado. It may just look like rain to you, like, I'll make it through, but there could be so much more in that storm that you're not aware of. So drive the other direction. And we don't say don't drive forever. Drive until you find sustainable shelter on the side of the road. Maybe it's a church, a school, some people you know with a basement or a safe place, a safe room. There's going to be some place better than in your car, under an overpass, or in a ditch.
In my community, we have the first Saturday of every month, they do the alarms. And it's really amazing. The first time they did the sirens, it got my attention. And it was on a bright, sunny day, so I knew that it was just... And they follow up with, this is just a test. But I can recall the first time I actually heard a real siren go off. I was living in Uptown in an apartment. And it's when they had the tornado downtown and some severe, it scared the heck out of me. I got to be honest with you. Because it rained wrapped. You couldn't see the sky really. Windy. Sirens go off. It got my attention. But being in an apartment on the bottom floor in a one bedroom apartment, I really didn't know where to go. I really didn't. But I think it's important that people have a plan. In your house, now in my house in McKinney, we have a plan. We had a siren go off months ago. I quickly woke everybody up, got them downstairs. We went underneath the stairs. There's a closet that, my goodness, you get to know somebody real quick with five people in a closet. But that's what our plan was. And I think that a lot of people don't have a plan.
They don't. And it just amazes us every time we go to a town. And that question that we get all the time is, why are you in our town? So we asked them, so if there was a tornado on the ground and it was heading to your community or to your home, do you know where to go? And most people say, I really never thought about it. I really don't have a plan. And the structure that they have or that they live in may not be the best suitable place for them to go. So having a plan is the first part of really being prepared for a storm. The second part really is what we call having your go bag. Here's the thing. Most people that get hurt, injured, or even die in a tornado event, that didn't need to happen. And sometimes the injuries are caused after the storm's already gone because they weren't prepared. So they get cut, they fall, and they, you know, fall into stuff, and they get injured because they weren't prepared. They didn't have the stuff. And because we're trained in search and rescue, the stuff that's in that go bag helps us get to them quicker, possibly, and save their life.
Maddie Lou, we talked earlier.
Yes.
Your go bag right now contains a swimsuit.
Yes.
What else? Any yoga?
A Tupac t-shirt? No.
A Tupac t-shirt.
My computer, my laptop, chargers, and some colorful pants.
Yeah, I kind of need a go bag. You know, in the wintertime, we do put the extra blanket in the car. We do put an extra jacket, a set of gloves, but we don't really think about springtime of having this go bag. You want to talk about what you suggest to put in a go bag?
Some of the things that you want in your go bag are the obvious. You want snacks. I'm a health snack freak, so I always want healthy snacks available to the team and to anybody that we find along the way. But you need a flashlight, a weather radio. Of course, a small first aid kit is really good because you never know with those small cuts and bruises that you might need to just take care of yourself. One of the things you may not think about is a whistle. If you have kids, especially, you want whistles in your go bag for each one of your kids. If rubble covers something up, you want a whistle that they can blow so that you can hear where they are. And that's really important and something you may not have thought about.
I never thought, Maddie Lou, you think of a whistle?
No.
No, and I think earlier, not at all.
Now, clearly.
No. I mean, you. When the whistle blows in Maddie Lou's world, it means there's like, that's the end of the play.
It means, yeah. Basically, essentially, yes.
Resetting it down.
Yes.
And you also had a good point. Pictures of your family.
You want pictures of your family and even pictures of your pet because they can get displaced. So even if your whole family's together in the safe place, you may not have had time to get your pet cat or your pet gerbil or whatever. And if you have a picture to show the search and rescue team, they can maybe help you find your pet.
Oh, I have a plan to rescue Coco the kitty. Coco the kitty will get rescued, or I'm telling you, Ryan, I am in big trouble.
Then you better put a picture of Coco in your go bag.
There you go. We're hanging out this morning with Bill Ford, Corey Ford, and Danielle Ford, all a part of Storm Warriors. And you guys have a television show coming out. You've got the pilot that was just shot. I want to learn a lot about that. Can we take a break? We'll be right back. You're listening to 620 AM, KEXB, your experts in business. Give us a few. We'll come right back. Continue our conversation with Bill, Danielle, and Corey, all from Storm Warriors. Kind of a love for helping people, because this is really what it's all about. It's about, in a way, warning people, and then after the storm, help restore their hope and restore their physical things. I mean, kind of helping them get their life back together. Let's talk about that.
Well, the first storm that I really got to serve the people that were affected by the disaster was in Hurricane Rita, where our family went out and we were actually there to feed these families that lost everything. Electricity was gone. Gas was gone. So the refrigerators were gone. No fast food was open. There was nothing. They had no food to eat. So we went and we set up and we served all these families. And what was really overwhelming to us was the stories that we heard from the families that would come. And what happened was where we were became their community. Mm-hmm. They gathered there every morning for breakfast and every night for dinner, and it was their community. And we really became part of their family. And their stories were just incredible. And the stories, not just about the storm, but it was about, you know, what was going on in their life, what was going on in their family. And so we really kind of helped rally around these communities and brought hope back to them, because we encouraged them that you've got to rebuild not just your home, but you got to rebuild your life. You've got to go forward. You got to move forward. And that was really the centerpiece of what the pilot that we're shooting right now of the show was, really to tell that story of small town America that nobody's telling, the backbone of America, what these people do and how they think and how they live is an incredible story that we want to tell through the show of Storm Warriors.
Yeah. Any, how was that shooting this pilot? I mean, you guys, what's any particular storms that you kind of filmed in?
We actually recently were just in Lakeview, Texas, up in the Panhandle. And the morning after the storm that we had chased, we were going around and looking at damage, and we came across Lakeview Grill. It's like the only business in this small community, and it was really a community center. And we realized that all the windows were broken out. Corey and I had the opportunity to go in, and we immediately connected with the families that were there helping this grill clean up after the storm, and had the opportunity the next week to take our team back, and we actually helped them put in the new windows, and we feel like we're part of the Lakeview, Texas family now.
Making memories.
Yeah.
And doing God's work.
Absolutely.
Service to others is the highest calling.
Yeah, so that's exactly right. So, you know, we ended up getting to pray with a lot of families and again, just listen to their stories. And so in a big community where you've got all the services and you know, so if the water main breaks, you know, in Rowlett, so you've got city services that are going to go out there and fix it. In Lakeview, when their water main broke, they were without water for 2 days. The farmers went out there with their tractors and their shovels, and the whole community showed up, and they fixed their own water main, and they were out there for 2 days doing it nonstop. And so that's what small America does, is they go, the families rally around, the community rallies around, and they work together to make their lives better. And we just love that.
Heart of America right there. You know, you get outside these big cities. We talked a little bit about this before the show. I think that's where the strongest Americans live, are in these outer areas in the country, in these small towns. They're not used to the government always being there to provide everything they need. And in time of crisis, they don't wait around for someone to help them. They just go ahead, like you said, grab a shovel and get to work.
What we see there, and I'm just going to say it like this, it's there's values there in small town America that we have somehow lost in our bigger cities and bigger communities. It's really about family. It's the importance of family. It's importance of heritage and hard work and, you know, staying true to what we believe. And so that's why we like being there, and that's why we like to hear their stories.
I love it. Great family here, man. I mean, you guys really... I'm impressed. I mean, that you guys all have a mission. You're all on the same page. It's like Corey, you didn't run off and want to go do something out in creatively or whatever. You've stayed to the passion of what your parents
Definitely.
Are doing.
Yeah, I love it now. You know, it's become my passion. It's something I love to do with my family and helping people. It's just what we do.
I think you should go get your meteorology degree, too. I think you should go to Mississippi State and get that and
I'd love that. To.
Yeah, you could do your live broadcast, and
yeah,
you can do like we talked about some of the services that you guys go to get these forecast models, because you've got to take off in one direction days before the storm is even remotely probably in the continental U.S.
Yeah, we're making
these frontal systems.
Exactly, we're making decisions every day about where we're going to be, and it changes. I mean, we may wake up tomorrow morning with a different plan, but we got to start moving in a direction to be there when the storm starts to initiate.
Let me talk to you real quick about the sponsorship. How do you fund a lot of this stuff? I mean, that's a big question here that I'm asking myself. Like, it's cost a lot of money to do this.
Well, you know, we've been doing this out of our pocket for years. It's just something that we did. And so it all started out of a buddy of mine, out of a Honda Accord. And, you know, we were able to buy a couple of cameras and get a few weather apps. And it was really about storm chasing at that point. What changed everything was the 1999 Moore, Oklahoma tornado.
Okay.
When I drove underneath or behind that storm and saw the devastation and I saw the families, I was not equipped. I had no training and I had no tools to help these families. I literally drove home to my home at that time in Wichita Falls, and I just cried because I wasn't prepared to help.
Mm-hmm.
And so everything started changing. We started carrying equipment. We started getting education. We started training ourselves. And so now we have these bigger trucks, and again, it's all been out of our pocket. Now, we do have a great family that's come alongside us. It's really our investor in the project who is really to help us change the culture through telling these stories of small-town values America. And so now we have a little bit of funding to do this pilot. Hopefully the show will get picked up by somebody, and then we'll be able to go and multiply what we've been doing for years by ourselves out of our own pocket.
Yeah. If you want more information on this and anything that we've said, go to stormwarriors.tv. The website's right there. I'm on your site right now. It's beautiful. It's got all the information on you guys and kind of the mission, different resources. And it got good life-saving tips on here as well of how to save your life. We talked about the go bag. But really, if I get a takeaway from all of this, it's you've got to find a weather app that you're familiar with and go to it every day. And find out what your world's going to look like for that day.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, being aware of the local forecast is extremely important, because if you wake up, you have no idea that severe weather is going to be in your area that day, then you're putting yourself and your family in danger. So
yes,
having those apps can save your life and your friend's life, people that you can alert and say, hey, I see this thing happening on my app. So I think we need to be aware and make sure that we know what's going on this afternoon.
And I think the difference, and we got about another minute left. Sometimes with a hurricane in a region, let's just say with Ike and Rita, they can follow this tracking chart for a long time. So you have plenty of time to mentally say, okay, it's coming our, and you can kind of narrow that cone down. With tornadoes, not as much preparation. I mean, you guys got a heads up, but really people learning about, hey, you know, two to three days from now, we could be looking at a different weather situation at our place. So I think that's very important. More information on that, go to stormwarriors.tv. Thank you so much for coming in.
Thank
Thanks
you for
having us. Thank you.
I love it. We'll see you back here tomorrow, bright and early, right here on 620 AM KEXP, your experts in business. Have a great day.